Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
No, Joe, before his breakout last year of 975 yards, what was his career high in yards?
We did that. Yeah, we've done it. Not a lot.
He broke 400 yards once.
Yeah.
In two games, Kendrick Bourne has more yards in two games than Juwan had for two full seasons.
But he was loved. We loved Juwan, third and Juwan, Joe, right?
No, like, again, as a third receiver. And I just think that
he was the Super Bowl MVP for a moment. I'm just telling you, people love the guy.
This is like it's even worse than whatever people thought like Jordan Poole was guilty of. Like this is where hey, you're the eighth or ninth guy off the bench thinking you're the second option on the team. It's like you're not. Dude, you're just not. Like, you're a really good player. We like you, but we're not a throwing team. We're a run team. You're never going to hit those incentives. You're not that kind of a guy. You had a great year last year. As we're learning in the Shanahan offense, we throw to the open guy. And so last year was your year. This year it's Kendrick Bourne's.
What have we undervalued the most on this 49ers roster? 888-957-9570. You can join in the conversation there. Text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. You're listening to 957 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app, coming live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
The thing that we were getting to, and I do want to just put a ribbon on it.
Yeah.
Last year's draft, Pearsall, Renardo Green, Dominic Pooney. I'm still very optimistic about those three to start off, right? Pearsall, when he plays, is really good. Renardo Green is showing flashes in every game. I feel like he's been a good player, like, through his first 2 years. A good player. We'll see how good he becomes. Pooney, I think he's hurt. He's better than what he showed this year. But at least he's playing every snap for you. There's good value in that. Like, didn't see that coming. He's been a good pick. Almost great pick.
It was a tough matchup for him last week. Vita Vea is a beast.
Yeah. Mustafa, fourth round. This is last year's draft. Let's see it, right? I was encouraged at the end of last year. You know, he's coming off the injury. Let's see it. Isaac Arendo in the fourth round, just that's a wasted pick. Jacob Cowan in the fifth, the fourth round as well, that's a wasted pick. Your sixth round pick, Kingston, is he still on the team? Now, then you have the seventh rounder in Tatum Bethune. I actually really like Tatum Bethune, and I think he can have a really big weekend this weekend and change everyone's opinion. They're good at drafting and developing these linebackers. They actually are.
They've been very good in the Shanahan-Lynch era. Hell, even prior to that, just look at Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis. Here's Kyle talking about how he felt Bethune played in place of Fred Warner.
I thought Tatum did a real good job. I mean, he had a couple mistakes, which were understandable, kind of what I think I was saying on Monday. But there was a lot of clips that, you know, I was telling everyone. When I get on the plane, I start watching the tape. You know, it starts off a little depressing for me, just how the game went and thinking about it without Fred. And then I stop and rewatch it a different way from a different light. And it was very inspiring watching how Tatum played. A bunch of our young guys, some good things on that tape. Got to clean up some mistakes that we made, but I liked how the film looked and how the guys played.
We have Dean continue to wear the green dot in communication, or would Tatum? Take that.
Tatum.
So Tatum wearing the green dot, communicating the defense. You like that?
Yeah, I do. Now, I know Ricky's going to be out this week. You know,
Slick Rick.
You can make the argument. They've got Pooney, Green, Bethune, Mustafa, all right? And if Ricky's out there, that's fine. Five guys from one draft class starting.
It's pretty good.
And then this year, you'll have Mikel, Alfred Collins rotational,
yeah.
Upton Stout's been starting, Siegel starting.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
No, well, this is great development right now. And that's why we were talking
about
this.
Nine guys.
We talked about this season, Joe. If it could be a success if you develop some of this young talent, well, I don't think you wanted it on the heels of losing Nick Bosa and Fred Warner.
No, but this is the silver lining.
But it's an opportunity, yes. Right? Like, this is a huge opportunity for all this. And Schlereth actually talked about that, too, with Fred Warner's injury. That opens opportunity.
Somebody's going to get an opportunity, and can you take advantage of those opportunities? Can you play to a standard, to a level, you know, that Fred Warner actually has set for that whole team? So, you know, that's the cool thing about, you know, the cool side of tragic injuries like that is somebody else is going to get an opportunity, and it may just launch that particular individual's career.
So you never know. You never know.
So you got the, you know, Pooney, Pearsall. Well, he won't play, so put him up. Pooney, Green, Bethune, like, you got five guys from one draft class, and you got six from this year's draft class that will all be suited up.
Yeah.
So you've got 11 out of the last two drafts. Now, we need them to hit. We need them to hit the ground running and be really good, but they are getting some production from it.
They are.
Now I want to ask you about Mikel Williams.
Ask me.
Heading out of the draft this year, who did you want the Niners to take? Or were you, like, position-specific, player-specific? What were you thinking?
Well, we talked about it all, right? I didn't think there was a wrong answer, really. I know I got heat when we talked about the offensive player, and I said, and this is before they did the contract, Joe, but I was like, man, if Tyler Warren's there, the tight end, who everyone was at Penn State, he was highly projected, one of the best players in all of college football.
He's been a baller. He's
been a baller for the Daniel Jones, the Indiana Jones resurgence on the Colts. I said, man, I know you can't trade George after a second team all pro year, but he's getting older. And I made the argument and people were losing their minds and getting mad at me. I don't think it seems that crazy now. This was before the injury happened. So I was open to anything. I really was. Hell, you kind of even talked to me, Ashton Jeanty, if you fell to them somehow, some way. You ended up getting a top 10 pick to the Raiders running back out of Boise State. But I was open to anything. If that, I know it's kind of a cop out answer, but
no,
I was open to anything.
It's just like, I think they had so many holes.
Right.
It was like, all right, what do you plug first? Right?
I felt like there wasn't a wrong answer and I could be talked into any position.
Okay.
I felt like that.
No.
Yeah,
I think a lot of Niner fans felt that way.
But I'll say this. A lot of fans felt coming out of that last season, defense, defense, defense. And it felt like, hey, we're going to get Ayuk back at some point. You still got Kittle.
Yeah.
We'll see you with McCaffrey, right? Obviously moved off Debo, but you got Ricky Pearsall coming back. They felt like that was a luxury pick. I think a lot of Niner fans felt offensive skill position would have been luxury, or I could have been talked into it.
So I think you speak for a lot of people in that way. Tyler Warren makes a lot of sense. They're going to place a guy this weekend, Jalen Walker, who I really liked. And I thought he was kind of the versatile DN linebacker type that they might consider. Because I think you could play him on a variety of spots on the field right away. Now, he's not playing a whole lot for Atlanta, but he is been productive and has been. His overall PFF grade, which, again, take it however you want, has been higher. He's got half as many snaps as Mikel Williams. So you're looking at 133 snaps. He's got eight pressures. All right? Mikel Williams, drafted five spots ahead of him, has 261 snaps, 13 pressures. So you can make the argument Mikel is being asked to do different stuff, going up against double teams, more interior stuff. You know, like, it's early, but I am interested to see Jalen Walker, the linebacker for Atlanta, because he's a guy, like, I had circled him. I made the argument, like, that might be the guy that I take. The other guy that we'll get a look at as well this weekend, if you're just watching football, you know, Tyler Booker starting right now for the Cowboys, offensive lineman. He's looked really good. You know, he was the very next pick after the Niners. So it's always the woulda, coulda, shoulda on all these things, but you saw the receiver for Tampa Bay who was drafted, I believe, 17th or 18th in the same draft. We're going to do this for the remainder of the year. And we still haven't seen Walter Nolan, who a lot of Niner fans wanted. who's the Arizona Cardinal guy. I don't even think he's played one down yet from Mississippi. So there's just, I'm not saying that I have buyer's remorse on Mykel Williams. I'm not even close to that yet. But this is one of the many matchups over the next couple of years where you're going to say, you and you were two guys that could have been drafted by either team. Did we make the right pick?
It's funny you bring that up, because I was reading an article, and whether you like the guy or not, I know, because Stephen Ruiz, the Ringer, you know, the Brock Purdy thing, all of that. If Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl, I'm going to quit. But it was an interesting article you read about the 2024 quarterback class, if you redrafted it right now.
Okay.
Again,
yeah.
Just redrafted it.
Yeah.
So obviously you got Caleb going number one overall to the Chicago Bears.
Still.
No. But this was last year. I'll give you the redraft. But yeah. This is just the order of how it happened. You had Caleb, right? You had Jaden Daniels in there. You had Drake May. And you had J.J. McCarthy. You had Michael Penix. You had Bo Nix, right? You had all, and then Spencer Rattler was way late. But this is, they're doing a redraft.
A fun exercise early on. We'll see what it looks like in 5 years.
We'll see.
But I like that. Let's hear it.
Okay. He has...
I would have Jaden Daniels one.
He has Drake May.
Number one?
Number one overall. Drake
that seems a little premature.
May.
Okay. But okay.
I know you like Drake May, though.
No, I do. Yeah. He's my quarterback.
He's looking good.
I drafted him in a lot of leagues.
He's looking good right now.
I just believe in Vrabel.
Well, thank you. I do, too. I always loved Mike Vrabel. All right. And so the second pick, they still have Jaden Daniels going to the Washington Commanders.
Okay.
So you see Caleb falling a little bit here.
Bo Nix.
Third pick. Yeah, Bo Nix is a part of this draft class. Remember, they're redrafting the 2024
who goes higher,
draft class.
Caleb or Bo Nix?
For me, I'm still thinking I'm taking the upside of Caleb with Bo.
I'm not ready to give up on Caleb
yet. No, I'm not giving up on him yet. He's shown some flashes here with Ben Johnson, and I still believe in Ben Johnson, even though he's taking shots at the media right now, a little bit too early for me. But in this redraft hypothetical, they have the New England Patriots taking Caleb Williams. Then you get to the 10th pick, and this is fascinating to me. The 10th overall pick to the Minnesota Vikings, Spencer Rattler.
Wow. It's my guy.
Over Bo Nix?
It's my guy.
Over J.J. McCarthy?
Dude, he looks good, dude.
Spencer Rattler? One win in his career?
Yeah, but he looks good.
Or two wins now, right? Two? No, they won one or two. I don't, it doesn't matter.
Well, look, you don't make these, like, the same thing was I'm, like, talking about Mykel Williams. One six-game stretch does not make or break a draft pick.
No.
Eric Armstead was kind of stinky for, like, 3 years, and then all of a sudden, wow, he's one of the better players in the NFL.
Right.
Jimmy Ward was awful for 2 years, and then, wow, this guy's a great safety, and he's a good slot corner. So, like, you don't want to, like, make sweeping indications today,
yeah,
right?
One win for Spencer Rattler in his career. It was against the Giants the other week, right? So, and then they have all the way, they still have the Broncos taking Bo Nix with the 12th selection, and then J.J. McCarthy goes all the way down. Oh, they have Michael Penix, owner of the Raiders. Oh, that would have been nice. The 35th pick to the Atlanta Falcons would have been J.J. McCarthy in this hypothetical. So there you go.
But the way I do it, like, this is what sports fans do. It's like I'm watching Cam Scataboo, and I'm like, why didn't we take him? What are we doing? He would have been perfect in the Shanahan offense.
You know,
what are we doing? We're taking another receiver?
You know, I wonder how Warriors fans felt when they drafted Stephen Curry at the time with that top 10 lottery pick. You thought maybe the Knicks, I don't know. But Stephen Wardell Curry going to the Golden State Warriors and how that shifted everything into the dynasty that was the Dubs. It's going to be 15 years since Joe Lacob purchased this team. What's the better 15-year stretch? Was it with the Niners winning 5 Super Bowls back into the 80s and mid-90s? Or was it the Golden State Warriors run with Stephen Curry, Draymond, or Clay? 888-957-9570. As it's all going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Good for good. Becoming the majority owner of the Golden State Warriors. Better run. Was it Joe Lacob's Warriors or Eddie DeBartolo's Niners? Well, 5 Super Bowls, 4 NBA championships, got some MVPs in there. You've got some unbelievable record-breaking seasons, 73 wins. You could call, you could text, but we would hear, I want to hear the calls. I want to hear the arguments, right? Because there is one more Super Bowl trophy. There is one more trophy. And there is. 5 Super Bowls, I mean, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Joe. I mean, right there. I mean, like, it's hard to deny that greatness. But you got the chef on the other side, Stephen Curry.
What was more impressive? Beating LeBron James, beating the Dallas Cowboys. It wasn't Roger Staubach, but I'm just, you know, they were who they were.
LeBron James might go down as the greatest player in the history of the sport. So I got to go Stephen Curry and what they were able to do to beat that Cavs team and Kevin Durant and all of it. I do. I'm going Warriors here, Joe. I might be in the minority. I know football is sexy. 888-957-9570. 15-year run. Which one are you taking?
I have to ask you. You think LeBron's the best player of all time, don't you?
No, I think Michael Jordan's the greatest player ever. I don't think LeBron is. I think he's in the conversation.
He's in the conversation.
Well, some people won't even do that.
Well, that's
some
ridiculous.
People get upset.
Those people are ridiculous.
I think Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time.
All right.
Yes, I do.
Good.
I know people think I'm this big LeBron stan for some reason. I'm not. I don't know why.
The younger generation disrespects Jordan, and they just didn't, they didn't see him.
Joe, how you felt about, like, when you started to see, like, your generation of players, like finally fade out? That's kind of how I feel about LeBron. Like, I've been watching the guy since I've been in fourth grade. So, like, there is a nostalgia factor of, like, when he does hang it up, there's a part of my childhood that, like, dies. Like, seriously, it's dead. It's gone. And you can laugh at it. You can just scoff. Like, Tom Brady's the same thing. It's like, dude, I've been watching that guy since I was, like, 6 years old. It's crazy, man. Joe, I got 2 kids and a bunch of problems right now.
I hear you.
That's how long I've been watching LeBron.
I hear
you. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I mean, he's got sciatic, for Christ's sake.
He's an old
like,
man.
I mean, it's like, come on.
He's an old man.
But he'll go to Germany or the Caribbean or whatever and take his 5 weeks off, not get drug tested.
You got to get the CMC and Kobe.
Good to go.
You got to get the CMC and Kobe treatment. That's okay. To go over to overseas, nothing wrong with that. Got to go with the stem cells or something. Go to like Nicaragua. I don't know. There you go.
Whatever legendary broadcaster or journalist has the gumption to write the performance-enhancing biography of LeBron James's career is going to make gazillions.
The Game of Kings instead of the Game of Shadows. You like that? The Game of Kings? Well, he's all that, and his hairline still won't grow back. This Sunday night, the kickoff show with Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings will be live from Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale starting at 3 o'clock. I say that as a guy whose hairline is fading on him currently. They'll have all the early games on, and the beer garden will be rocking with a DJ and bartender serving Gold Bar whiskey specials. And all if right. you're going to the game, Joe, this come on. Free shuttle to and from? Doesn't get better than that. If you want to sign up, it's first come, first serve. Go to the Eventbrite page on our website, 95centthegame.com.
I think me and Carter are going to make an appearance.
Cool.
We're going to try to get down there.
Go say what's up to them.
Yeah,
you can't miss Carter.
Yeah.
Can't 100%. Miss him.
You've got arguably the greatest defensive player in franchise history in Ronnie Lott on one side.
Yep.
And I know Wilt, but most of us didn't see Wilt. So I think for most people, arguably the greatest defensive player in Warrior franchise history on the other side.
Steve Kerr called him the greatest in history of the NBA. That's
a little strong for me.
But that's a player and guy that played with Michael Jordan.
I'm taking Pippen.
Okay.
You know, I'm probably taking at his position. I might take Rodman. Like, there are other guys that I think are in the mix. Like, you also
Who was the better defensive player between Pippen and Jordan to you?
Oh, I thought Pippen was. Okay. But Jordan was amazing defensively.
You got the DPOY is why I'm asking.
I just think Pippen was so underrated. Because of every, like, his wife has, like, skewed everything.
Larsa?
His ex-wife or whatever is, like,
estranged, whatever it is.
Yeah, but it's not just that. Like, I just, history has forgotten. Pippen was so awesome. So awesome. Seeing the floor, setting people up. Dude, Pippen was ridiculous, dude. He was so long.
It still might be the greatest duo ever. Just because, and we still sleep
it
on
it. It is the greatest duo ever.
Is it? Not Steph and KD?
As much as I love those two, if we were going 2-on-2, I actually think somehow, some way, Pippen and Jordan would lock them up.
Kobe, Shaq?
Great duo.
Yeah.
Great duo. I mean, these are all-time great duos. Right. You know, like, you know, James Worthy and Magic. Kareem and Magic.
Joe and Jerry, as we're
Joe
talking
and
about
Jerry,
it.
Steve and Jerry. I mean, there's so many. But I'm getting back to the Niners and Warriors. Unbelievable role players who ended up having the banner portion of their career in a Warrior uniform. Think Fred Dean, right? His best years, at least nationally, even though he had more prolific sack numbers in San Diego, his best years were with the Niners, winning championships.
Yeah.
Iguodala, though more proficient in other areas and probably a better all-around player, he became a winner guy here. You know,
the LeBron stopper. I know he scoffed at that.
He held LeBron to 30-12-12. Give him the MVP because I'm Jeff Perlman and I don't know basketball.
Let's go to the people are fired up about this. We got a lot of callers on this.
I don't think there's a wrong answer.
888-957-9570. 15-year run. All right. Are you going? We're coming up on Joe Lacob's 15-year anniversary of becoming majority owner of the team. Are you taking Joe Lacob's 15-year run with the Warriors or Eddie DeBartolo's 15-year run starting, what, 1980 we're going? 1981, whatever it is? 5 Super Bowls to 4 championships. You got Stephen Curry, you got Joe Montana. Who you taking? Don, Concord, who you taking?
Oh, I love the Jerry and Joe show. You know, I used to go to work and just watch the little TV on Sundays because I always had to work Sunday nights on Broadway. And it was always the Jerry and Joe show. We had such confidence. Ronnie Lott, this guy named Roger Craig. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Don, you okay?
Did we lose
Oh, my God.
Don?
He just disconnected.
Well, here's the names no one's brought up. What about the Splash Bros? Like Clay and Steph.
Yes. But I think, I mean, if we're going like the duo, though, the finals MVPs. It's KD and Steph, right?
Okay, no. I'm just talking like when we're discussing the franchises.
Oh, yeah,
and their
runs. Totally.
Like, to me, Klay Thompson,
yes.
I think
yes.
Right now we're kind of not thinking about him. We have to remember.
Absolutely.
One of the, again, like Pippen, criminally underrated.
Yes.
Criminally underrated for how good he was.
Like, because as we were talking about yesterday, the out of sight, out of mind, I do think there was the out of sight, out of mind of Klay Thompson because he missed that chunk, which sucks. It's unfair that it. We forgot, dude. Guy was unbelievable. Like, seriously. I always make the argument, Joe, if both of these players are like en fuego and they're hot, I think the better shooter at their peak when they are on fire is Klay over Steph. And that might sound sacrilege.
No.
I watched the guy score 30 points in a quarter.
I think he's one of the guys that should have been first team all defense 2 or 3 years in a row and got no love.
Yeah.
No love.
Who's going to who? Kawhi instead?
He would lock up Dame. He would lock up Russ. He was so good.
And he was able to switch on the likes of a LeBron,
too.
Anyone.
He was so good.
And Carter always says this. Carter, you're 6'7". You're listed 6'7". I think Clay's listed.
I'm 6'8", but don't
6'8". Oh, excuse me. I don't want to skimp you on the inch. I mean, that extra inch means everything, as we all know. But you said Clay. Clay looks bigger in person, is what you told me.
Oh, he's way bigger in person.
You look up to him.
6'7" seems small to me when I was standing a foot from him in an elevator, like within the last 2 years.
And you said what? He could be 6'9". And you believe it?
I felt like I was looking at his nose, not his eyes.
Wow, look at that!
If Meg Stallion was in that elevator, you wouldn't have been looking at his nose.
I sure wouldn't have been looking at Clay's nose.
Orlando. Orlando is in San Bruno, wants to join the conversation. Orlando, which run are you taking? Are you taking the Warriors 15-year run with four titles or the Niners with five Super Bowls?
Well, the Niners did it in 13 years. The Warriors still have a chance if they win this basketball season. That will still be impressive. I think the last thing, I think the Niners actually had a tougher way of getting to the Super Bowls because the NFC East was very badass. And the Cowboys in the 90s, you know, they lost twice to them. But the Warriors, of course, you know, you got to give it to Joe Lacob, what he's done, and the beautiful, beautiful arena. Thank you, guys.
So you're making a great point.
Thanks, Orlando.
I want to stop for just a second. He's making a great point about the Niners. I want you guys to think about this. I know we have forgotten it. The Washington football team with Joe Gibbs won three Super Bowls during the same period with three different quarterbacks.
Yep, Joe Gibbs. He is not talked about enough as talking about the GOAT argument, Joe. He won it with three different quarterbacks.
All right. The Dallas Cowboys won three championships. We know. It's very, you know, prolific. The New York Giants won three Super Bowl championships. One with Jeff Hostetler.
They won three? I thought they won two.
86, 92. Maybe I'm excuse me,
yeah,
two.
Yeah.
86, 92.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bears were the greatest defense of all time. Literally.
Yep.
The Niners went in there in 1988 and kicked the crap out of them.
Yep.
The LA Rams didn't win anything because of the Niners. They had won the division one year and they hosted one of the playoffs.
The Eagles were respectable in that division too, were they not?
They had Jerome Brown and Reggie White and Eric Allen. Their
Randall
defense
Cunningham.
Was ridiculous. Buddy Ryan.
Yep.
So, like, the NFC was way more stacked than what the Western Conference was during the Warriors era.
Hell, even
the Rockets, like, pale in comparison.
I watched the Doc, and the Lions even had a team then. That goes to show. They had Barry Sanders for a year. That was good. 888-957-9570. I was going to say, the Rockets, they were a formidable foe, though. Like, that team, had they advanced, they were absolutely, I think they were absolutely winning the finals. I do.
I bring up the Rams. Do you even think about the Rams? Like, ever in the 80s and 90s?
Eric Dickerson.
Yeah, but does anyone ever bring them
Chris
up?
Chris Everett.
That's the way the Rockets will be remembered.
Mm.
We won't.
I'm remembering that Rockets team as they missed all those shots in a row. And I thought they were pretty freaking good with the MVP, James Harden, there. But I know.
Do you talk about the Utah Jazz, who actually went to the finals?
We talk about the Jazz a lot as the team that couldn't get over the hump. We do that a lot, don't we?
I feel like Stockton and Malone gets really slept on.
Oh, Steiny and Goo were like talking about Stockton and Malone for like 10 minutes on
well,
the show yesterday.
Well, that's our era, so, you know, we do. I'm talking about the younger people.
Oh, no, we talk about it. We talk about it. Yeah, I do. I don't sleep on them. The fact that they play that many games, Stockton and Malone, is pretty insane together.
Well, and as we're talking about
duos, Joe. Forgotten duo right there. Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
They were great. But there were some great teams in the night. Like, the Supersonics were a great team. A great team.
15-year run as we're coming up on Joe Lacob's ownership of the Golden State Warriors, majority ownership, 15 years coming up, the anniversary there. Are you taking Eddie DeBartolo's run or Joe Lacob's currently? Fred, Foster City. What's up, Freddie? You're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, what's up, fellas? You know, I'm old enough to remember the Niners. Well, I don't remember them too much in the 70s when apparently they were no good. But I'm going to have to give it to Joe Lacob's run because he seems to have the Midas touch. Like, the Warriors were horrific. Mm-hmm. When I mean horrific, like, there were all these, like, you know, every year before before the Warriors were bought by Joe Lacob, we had these false hopes. We would have high draft picks. You know, we would have instances like Chris Webber. We had Chris Webber, and that didn't work. We had Sprewell, and that blew up in our face. And we had people like Beegers and Monte Ellis and so on and so on and so forth. And we never, ever had the type of success like when Joe Lacob inherited that team, bought the team, overpaid for the team, got booed that night, that famous clip. I think that has Rick Barry is introducing
him. Chris Mullin retirement night.
Yeah, and then he comes along and he puts the thing in place, puts Rick Welts in there and the coaching staff, and then the Warriors start winning, and then they get a new arena, right? Then they get a new arena, and then what else happens? We inherit, well, we get the WNBA team. So I say all of that to say this. Not only did the Warriors win under Joe Lacob, he changed the culture. The team is the second most valuable sports franchise in pro sports. So for me, and again, I salute the things that Eddie D did, because he did some, him and Carmen Policy. We can't forget Carmen Policy. They did some wonderful, amazing things, but I gotta salute Joe and said he's had the better 15-year run.
That's interesting, because he went to the business side of it there, Joe. I wasn't even thinking about that. That's interesting. That is.
Well, I don't – if we're talking 15-year run for the Warriors, I don't know if the Valkyries can factor in.
No, it's different. But
it's an interesting point. Here's the thing that Joe did that Eddie couldn't do, build the stadium.
Yeah.
They were trying to build the stadium. They couldn't build the stadium. There's no other way around it. The renditions of the San Francisco stadium that Eddie did want to build looked a lot like Arrowhead, and had they been able to pull it off in Hunter's Point, which – is a whole nother question. It would still be there to this day.
Big what if for you that we don't talk about?
Well, it was supposed to be a mall. He was ahead of this whole, like, build this whole industry around, you know, all the shopping and everything. And everyone was like, no one's going to shop in Hunter's Point. It's like, well, now Hunter's Point has nothing. So maybe we would have, maybe we wouldn't have. I don't know.
It's funny you bring that up, because I saw a rendition, of course. How many renditions have you seen from the A's ballpark in Vegas? But they are building it, and then they're proposing, I think, to the city council or something, doing just like what we're talking about, like a whole gambling
shopping district
right there as you walk into the stadium. It's just going to all funnel right there.
I'll be there in December, and I will give you a on the ground look at what's going on at the Tropicana.
You're going to be our Vegas insider for a day.
Absolutely, I'll be Vinny in Vegas.
You'll be Vinny in Vegas
or Marco in Vegas. I'll give you some money.
You and Townie going to be hanging out?
Yeah.
There you go.
The thing that I think we're forgetting is there was a 30-year wait list on season tickets for the 49ers.
30 years.
You think I'm joking?
No, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know. And so, like, times were different, right? The team was worth more than any team at the time in sports. The money's out of control now on what these teams are worth. And so, like, you have to remember, whatever they were when he got rid of the team in 1998,
right?
Like, was what they were. They were the biggest brand in the NFL outside of the Cowboys at that time.
Absolutely. We're talking about who's had the better 15-year run between DeBartolo and Lacob, Niners or Warriors, as we're coming up on the 15-year anniversary of Joe Lacob becoming the majority owner of the Golden State Warriors. Will and Marin.
Well, one more before we go to Will. One more thing that I do want to make. He was talking about Steph Curry. Joe did inherit Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Eddie inherited O.J. Simpson, for Christ's sake.
Hall of
Famer. I don't think people remember this. OJ, Hall of Famer. Joe,
I know. He was.
They traded two first-round picks for him. He was completely washed. My dad had his jersey, like, because people thought he was a hero coming out of the Fillmore. And for him to come back, he was done. He had nothing left. Nothing left in his career.
One of the worst trades ever.
And, you know, Eddie didn't inherit Joe Montana. He hired Bill, who drafted Joe Montana. So there's a distinction. To me, there's a little difference.
There is, and this is
going to
be the big test for Lacob post Steph, if he can do what, as the guy we mentioned after or prior, I should say, Jerry Jones, what he has not been able to do is have the ultimate success post Jimmy, you know, Barry Switzer, Aikman, all those guys. Will and Marin, what's up, man? You're on the Morning Rust.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, Joe, I totally understand that, like, the 49ers were the biggest brand, but, like, I know that, you know, Steph Curry was inherited, but, like, his ankles really weren't living up to the expectations. So the fact that Joe Lacob, like, still believed in him and still rode on him, and then he turned out to be what he was, because, come on, like, let's be honest, when Steph Curry was drafted, no one thought he was going to turn into what he was now. And, like, yes, the Niners were the biggest brand, but Steph Curry is the biggest brand in all of basketball globally, like, everywhere. Like, everywhere he goes, that guy walks on waters like he's Jesus in Bethlehem. So, like, I just think what Joe Lacob has done, and just, like, his moves, like getting David Lee and him being a key factor in the 2015 championship, you know, Andre Bogut, how good he was as a passing center and how great he was rebounding, you know, just, like, and all the little assets that they had to give up for that. Like, I just think that all the small...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Little pieces to go along with the large pieces of what Joe Lacob did, and like the other caller, you know, mentioned, like Joe Lacob was being clowned on when he's like, I see banners being hung up in here. No one believed that. The entire fan base of the Warriors were clowning on him.
Will, how old are you? Will, how old are you? I'm just curious.
No, I'm 37. So okay.
The only reason I'm saying this is that one time when Eddie got the team, they were like, "Who is this snot-nosed brat whose father bought him the team?" That's what people wrote in the Ira Miller, Glenn Dickey. These were the writers of the time. They laughed at him. And those people, there wasn't sports talk radio like there is today. Like everyone thought, like, "Who is this kid whose father bought him a team?" That's. I know it's hard to think of today, but that's what the articles were of then.
No, I totally hear you on that. And I think it's not hard to believe at all. I just think it's hard for me to believe too, because I have to keep it real. I was very young during that time.
Sure.
Like, I was 2 years old in 1990. You know what I mean? So I would be fronting if I was like, "Oh yeah, I was front and center seeing it." You know, I didn't get to witness the greatness like you.
How about this? They did it with two quarterbacks and two head coaches. Does that matter to anyone?
Yeah, I think that's a big take, because Steve Young was always on the. I heard one of the biggest kind of like issues and headaches with that team, with that Niners team, was just what I hear from my brothers who witnessed it, was that, you know, Steve Young was always trying to find a way out, and they were always trying to keep him because he never thought he was going to live up to Joe's expectations. So you're right, I do. There's a lot of pros and cons in both of them, but just for me, because I witnessed it, I think it's the Warriors.
No, I like that.
Thanks, Will.
I love the dialogue. I don't think there's a wrong answer.
Well, I think the fact that they have been able to retain and have, like, they've had drama. Obviously, they've had drama. But the fact that they've had so much cohesion at the top, with Lacob, Kerr, Myers, now Dunleavy, Steph, Draymond. Like, that's a feather in Lacob's cap that he's been able to hang on all. And they've had different iterations, Joe. Now, I know it's not a different quarterback. It's not like for like the same. But there's two titles with KD and two titles without KD. Right? You had Andre Iguodala for one.
Sure.
I know as a main focal point. I know he was technically there for the last one, too. But you had Andrew Wiggins as your second best player in another one. Which, in hindsight, it's pretty incredible.
No, it's remarkable. It's remarkable. But, like, and I know we see Steph Curry as Steph Curry, and now Joe's this old man. I don't think people can grasp how big Joe Montana. He was so big. Look this up. Scarface, Tony Montana. You know, the guy's name was Tony Antonio in the original 1937 or 32 Scarface movie. The guy who did the whole thing for the movie, whose name is evading
me. Brian De Palma?
No, the other guy.
You're not talking about the director of the movie.
They came up with Montana because Joe Montana was popular.
Okay.
That's where the name came from.
Okay.
I mean, this guy was literally going on tour with Huey Lewis, who was the biggest act. It would be the Bad Bunny of now, all right, for you young whippersnappers. I'm not saying Steph isn't large. He's humongous. But there was a point in time, Montana was the biggest sports star. Hands down, it was Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Joe Montana.
Oliver Stone. That's
Oliver
the guy
Stone,
who wrote
thank
it.
You.
Brian
thank
De Palma, director.
You.
We were
Oliver
both
Stone.
Right. Look at
it was
us.
Completely insane.
Look at our. Yeah, right. But you're right. I see right here. In contrast to the original people who were named Guarino and Camonte, who were Italian immigrants, Montana is a Cuban immigrant. And according to Oliver Stone, Tony's last name was inspired by then NFL quarterback Joe Montana. Stone's favorite player.
See?
So the more you know.
You guys, I got all these little nuggy nugs that you guys try to fact check me on, and boom!
Well, that's good. I wasn't questioning you. I just looked at it because I've never heard of that before. Oh, yeah. So there you go.
And well, his wife, Jennifer, the second wife, like, she was an actress, whatever. I didn't know who she was, but I'm sure she was popular in her given time, too. The Niners were, like, they were rock stars, dude. Like, rock stars. I know the Warriors are, too. I'm not saying that they're not. I think for a lot of the younger people, I don't think you can understand. Like, the 80s, it was, baseball was huge. There's no doubt about it. But it was Magic and Larry on everyone's posters, and it was Joe Montana. Like, it was a short list of people. Dave Winfield was a super mega star.
So, like, in how we view the 90s, right, it was, you know, it was Steve, it was Aikman, it was the Cowboys, it was the Niners.
Michael Irvin, even more so than Aikman.
And Michael Jeffrey Jordan, 100%. Obviously. He was the 100%. King that dominated. Kind of like, I guess we could compare it today, where Steph and LeBron and Tom, like, that was kind of, what it was.
Also, yeah. Gretzky. The 80s, Gretzky was humongous. I always forget about him, but, like, Gretzky going to the Kings, like, whoa, it was, like, the biggest thing of all time.
Right.
And Gretzky was huge.
And then you got, who am I not thinking of? Who else? Well, a cup of coffee, not as huge, but he's more of like a phenom. Bo Jackson.
Mid to late 80s was like a phenomenon. But I also think the other part of this, Joe, is when Joe Montana came from Notre Dame, there was name recognition coming out of Notre Dame.
Absolutely. Oh, by the way, look at this. Chris Broussard at 10:05. Chris Broussard, the guy that dubbed Matt Steinmetz the media's Larry Bird. And obviously you can see him on First Things First on Fox Sports. And that's going to be, again, 10:05, so we got to get out of here a little earlier today so they have enough time for Chris.
I got no problem with that.
I know you don't. Mariano, Tri-County. Mariano, you taking the Warriors 15-year run or the Niners 15-year run into the 80s and 90s? What's up, man?
So I'm going to take the Golden State run because, like, I feel like they built a little dynasty that was, like, they got championships, you know what I'm saying? They went back and forth even with KD and without KD. Yeah, the Splash Brothers, they put up. I feel like they did big things in the league.
Hey, Mariano, where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Georgia, okay. But I've been out here in South Carolina for like almost, 3 years now?
Yeah.
Got you. No, I just wonder, like, where your fandom for, like, Bay Area sports came from? Like, you a big Warriors, Niners guy? Like, who are your teams?
Okay, my team is the 49ers. Like, I've been, like, a 49ers since Colin Kaepernick.
Let's go. It's Colin Kaepernick. Okay.
Oh.
Right, fair enough. That's Mariano in Tri-County.
Good call, man.
Yeah, his phone was cutting out there.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. I like that.
There you go.
You know, it's hard to think of it now because KD was so big. I mean, just mega big. Deion being in the division.
The rap song.
And then coming to the Niners, winning Defensive Player of the Year. They win the Super Bowl, and then he goes to the Cowboys. It's just like, it was so big. Like, Deion was, like, I don't think we understand. Like, KD is huge, all right? I'm not denying that. Deion was a two-sport athlete. We thought he was bigger than Bo Jackson. Right. I know you brought up Bo Jackson. Like, he was playing in the World Series for the Braves, and then turning around and playing all-pro level DB for the Atlanta Falcons in the same day.
Another guy that battled turf toe, unfortunately. We had a super chat, Carter. We going to get to that?
Was so sick.
Super chat. Spadoni, I hope I'm not butchering this. Juwan Millen, $5. Thank you so much for the donation. Didn't Lacob want to get rid of Clay for Love? Only reason it didn't happen was Jerry West. Over Lacob.
But who kept on to Jerry West?
Look, you know,
wasn't
how many
that
deals...
Joe Lacob? Doesn't he get credit for having Jerry West there?
Like, you know how many deals we don't know about both teams have, like, tried to execute? I mean, they tried to trade Joe Montana for John Elway. They tried to trade Joe Montana away after the 86 debacle.
Right.
Like, there's so many... Dude.
What?
The Bill Walsh thing, like, Joe was always his guy. Like, guys, he had as many doubts as anyone else does.
Jerry West, May 19th, 2011, that's when he joined as an executive board member. And I've always credited Joe Lacob here. He puts in his insight. He puts people in position to succeed. He will give his thoughts, but ultimately lets those people do their jobs. And he's been on these airways. He sat with you, Joe. He sat with Bonte. A good owner is always involved.
Sure.
Always involved. But he also listens to the people that he appointed in those positions.
Yeah.
And he ultimately lets them make those decisions. And that was one of the great ones that Jerry West made. Now, I am sticking with Clay.
Whose shenanigans are wilder? Charles Haley or Draymond's?
Oh, Charles Haley. I mean, Jesus.
And Bill Romanowski.
Oh, my God.
We're not even mentioning... Like, the Niners had characters, dude. Characters.
Draymond Green is a saint compared to what Charles Haley was
and doing. Romanowski.
And Bill Romanowski. It's not even close.
Don't forget, they also had Stubblefield and, like, they had so many guys. That team was... Pierce Holt was crazy.
Well, that's another...
Kevin Fagan was crazy. Well, they had some crazy dudes.
As much as we want to say we've forgotten because, hey, we didn't have social media back then. If they had social media back then...
Would have been so bad.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, this is social media era, guys.
I want you guys to look up Tim McCheir. You guys don't even know who I'm talking about, do you?
Should I know him?
Number 22, played for the Niners, played for the Dolphins. He was an insane cornerback who thought he was Deion. He was the original do-rag guy who he would wear, like, the bandanas and stuff. Tim McCheir.
I see McKeyer right here.
M-C-K-Y-E-R.
The first thing that pops up when I Google him is a mugshot.
Yes. He was a Niner. He was sick, though. He was a sick second corner. Look at his career.
In February 2024, he was arrested in Florida on 5 charges of fleeing the scene of a crash.
God.
He is a 3-time Super Bowl champion, though.
Dude, the Niners had so many guys that you would, like, he was a Niner? Like, they had Ricky Jackson and Charles Mann.
He should have been a Raider.
Should have been at this point.
Hey,
why
look
not?
At his OG cards though. The pro set card. He's got like the bandana before anyone did.
You know what his nickname was?
Huh?
Frequent Flyer McKeyer.
Such a sick name. Such a sick name.
That is pretty sick.
I mean,
should call him Frequent Fast Fiver McKeyer.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
So, Fonte and I were going down the rabbit hole a couple years ago, and Jeff Fuller's name got brought up. And my grandfather believed Jeff Fuller was going to be better than Ronnie Lott. And I was like, Grandpa, you're crazy. And then I went back and I watched him because he went paralyzed. He got paralyzed at Stanford Stadium. Yeah. And he wore number 49. No, he was sick. Don Griffin was sick. Like, they had so many good players. Colin Williamson was sick. We have forgotten all these players. I'm telling you, I know the Warriors at the top. I'm not saying there's a wrong or right answer. I'm trying to give the full-bodied picture of what the Niner dynasty was. They had elite players everywhere. Russ Francis, we didn't even bring him up.
Ultimately, I think we should all give our answers for Fast Five here. We taking this Lacob run or we taking DeBartolo's run, Joe? Which one?
Oh,
put me on the
spot.
I'm taking the Warriors.
Oh,
I'm taking the Lacob run. Steph Curry is going to go down as the greatest athlete in the history of Barrier Sports. Yes, and that's the ultimate decider for me.
I'm going to go with and Joe and Steve and the Niner dynasty. That was Camelot. It was the glory years. It was... Yeah,
okay, that's fine.
I have to. If you guys are all going to take the Warriors.
No, well, I don't know if they are. I'm not speaking for them. But, Joe, there's no wrong answers here.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no wrong answers.
But only deciding factor for me why I'm taking the Warriors is what that caller said, the business side. It's unbelievable how they crawled from literally the pits of franchises to now one of the super franchises of the world. That's nuts.
Yeah, no, it is. Like, the business side of the business sports. Business Shasky, Business Bonte.
The 49ers had good years prior in the 70s, as you know. So.
No. They from 73 through 79, they were the worst team in the league.
Okay, prior to that, though.
In the 60s, they literally only made the playoffs 4 times.
When did the Warriors make the playoffs under Cohen?
Well, no, I mean, there's only like 8 teams in the league for the NFL at the time on the NFC
side. That is what it is, then.
I know, but like, I don't know.
Let's just say they both sucked, and then they both became the greatest dynasties in their sport at a given time. How about that? Look at that. The Bay's popping. You got to find the bright side. Always look on the bright side of life. Shout out Monty Python Spamalot. Am I right, Sammy?
That was a great song. My final thought is, man, I believe in Joe Lacob. And that is why I picked the Warriors as the better dynasty over the Niners. Partly because I was alive for the Warrior one. But also, I just feel like the way the Warriors became a dynasty, it just truly changed like the sports culture and the fabric in the Bay Area. Like, when I was in middle school, the concept of Warriors being the top team in this region was not something that anyone thought about. It was a completely laughable concept. And I'll never forget being in Miami, people asking me where the Warriors were to a few years later, the Warriors just the coolest thing that anyone could talk about in NBA circles. Like, Joe Lacob literally flipped the Warriors from a doormat into royalty, and I just, I'm always going to be appreciative of what Uncle Joe did to make that happen.
They're both great.
And it's why I'm not going to really fret about the post-Steph years, because, you know, we say, if you have Steph, you have a chance. Well, you know what? If you got Joey Light years, you still got a chance.
Dude, it's Fast Five, not Long Nine. Hey,
well, actually, we have a couple minutes to go here.
Tim McCuire and Don Griffin.
Show on those poppy seeds.
He got you there.
Tim McCuire and Don Griffin, you know what their nickname was? With Jeff Fuller? The Blanket and the Cover Brothers.
That's pretty good, actually.
Such a great name.
They don't have the nicknames like they used to anymore.
Shout out Rob McDonough out there sending me all of these, dude.
The frequent.
And did I say Fillmore? It's Petrero Hill for OJ. I don't know why I said that.
Frequent flyer McCuire is still an all-timer. That's pretty good.
Dude, Tim McCuire, I'm telling you right now, dude, with the Dolphins, he was sweet. And with the Niners, he was like, he was so ahead of his time. Like, so ahead of his time.
Played like on 10 teams. Well, he played on the Falcons, too. Maybe we should reach out to him.
No, he was the, like, in my, when I was collecting cards, he was the first guy that I knew that had the bandana.
Sam is right. When you search him, it's immediately a mugshot from last year.
First thing?
Yeah.
Dude, he was sick, though.
Multiple hit and run charges.
He was, like, the first guy, like, the ball would, like, get knocked down or whatever, and he'd do the, you know, where you're like, you're going, no, not in my house.
And now we have that one. It's just, like, a straight incomplete, and, like, they skipped it. It's like, no, dude, it's me.
He wore like the double thin, like elbow, like what are they called? Elbow sweatbands.
Yeah.
Like he, just the whole drip, dude, he was so fitted out. And 22 is such a sick number. And when you're a corner,
I'm looking at him right now. He did. Yeah, he looked pretty good. And there's a picture of him right here. The Carolina Panthers, all that.
Oh, yeah, man. He was with Seaford in the Panthers.
Yeah, look at that, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, he was a player, dude. He was crazy.
You probably have this card. I'm looking at it right now. Tim McCuire. Pro Bowl card, the pro set from the Dolphins, 1990, Joey.
So
looking
sick.
We gotta go?
So sick.
Gone already?
Was he 22 with the Dolphins too?
He was.
Yeah,
that
so
was
sick.
Fast Five.
Those all whites?
Yeah, brought to you by Xfinity, introducing the 5-year price guarantee. One consistent internet price for the next 5 years, guaranteed. I guarantee you, Chris Bussard gonna come up next. Steiny and Goo, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Steve Kerr on with Willard and Dibbs later this afternoon.
Bet 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.